Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Are you ready? Hey, some of you know that I sometimes get emotional. And so I have some ladies in church that love me a lot, and they made me topper hankies. So if it gets real up here, like, don't worry, I got this. My dad had these on the farm all the time. And if you're listening to this later on, I'm holding up a real handkerchief. No Kleenex today. I got the thank you, ladies that are loving on topper. So this one says, so good. I guess I tend to say that. So there's one with a praise hand emoji. Praise God. I think that's fitting, wouldn't you say? Yeah, Danielle? Okay. All right. We're in week two here of what pleases God. Are you guys excited to know what pleases God? Yes, I want to know, and I'm with you. And last week, Pastor Rob kicked us off. This is a two-week series, so this is it. Like, next week's Easter. So today I'm ending out this series, but Pastor Rob kicked it off last week with Luke 8, 28, 29, and this is Jesus, and he's saying, I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father taught me, and the one who sent me is with me, and he has not deserted me. For I always do what pleases him. And Pastor Rob asked the question, how are you doing with your always? How many of you want to always please God? I do. And how are you doing with your always? And to be clear, God, again, doesn't want the checklist, okay? I know I did that. Like, I grew up doing checklist faith. I just want to do it all right. And some of you, sadly, have been existing in that world. And some of you, sadly, had maybe a family order in your house growing up where it was kind of a checklist. But I want you to know, like, that's not, like, relational. God wants a relationship with you. Pastor Rob used the example of a spouse, like, doing a checklist. Like, I'm just going to do a checklist. And then we're good, right? Are we good? You know, no, we don't do that. Like, that's not how we live and love our God. And I closed it out, and I just wanted to be clear on something I learned when it comes to pleasing God, that his unconditional love is steadfast, never changes. It's so amazing. Isn't that comforting and amazing to know that there's nothing we can do to make that change? It can't get greater, can't get less. God loves us unconditionally. If you're a parent in here, say amen, because you know that feeling. When your child was born, there was something real, something you've never experienced before. That's what our God has. He's got that love for you and me. But how many of you know that don't always please God? That goes up and down, the pleasing factor. And it's dependent on how we go after Jesus. And so that's why we're doing this message, because we wanna please God. I mean, I closed out the service last week and with those couple of thoughts, and I pray it blessed you, but I'm just being honest, weak moment as a pastor. I was going home and I'm like, what were you doing? Like, you're preaching next week. That could have been your material. Like, what's going on? Now I gotta make stuff up. So that's what you're getting this week. So anyway, here we are, week two. Week two, we're talking about Colossians. There's a specific prayer that Paul prays over the church in Colossae. Colossians 1:10 is the very specific reference. And again, this is one of the prison epistles that Paul writes to the church in Colossians, okay? I don't know if you do soap. I hope you do soap. I listen to soap. I like to listen to soap, too, on the YouVersion Bible app. That's what I use. But if you don't know this, the NIV has three different voices. You can listen to three. There's three different options, and one of them is this dude with an accent and a very deep voice. He reminds me of a guy from this church who I love very much, but he, when he says Colossians, you know, like, we're Minnesotan, we say Colossians. He says Colossians. I'm going to try to do it better, Colossians. So that's Colossians 1 today. So sorry, you guys are like, please stop, move on. Okay. Real quick, before I get going too, I just want to, like, give some credit where credit is due. I studied some specific stuff. I hope you're happy. I use the Bible, okay? So you're going to get stuff from the Bible today. Warren Wiersbe is an amazing theologian, pastor, but he has amazing commentaries that I love, Warren Wiersbe. And then N.T. Wright did a little information. So I got some of that from these guys. And as I kick this off, I just want you to know there's some fun facts. The Apostle Paul, you know, he wrote this letter to a church. He had never met him. As far as I know, when he wrote this letter, he had not met them personally yet, but he knew Epaphras. I'm going to try to say the word the best I can, Epaphras. But Epaphras, Epaphras, whatever, he pastored this church in Colossae, but Paul was in Ephesians. So Paul is in middle Turkey, okay? So northern Turkey, middle Turkey, west side of Turkey is Ephesus, and then in from the coast a little ways is Colossae. It's right on the foothills of the mountains. And evidently Epaphras, whatever, came to Ephesus, and Paul, I'm going to try to keep all these Greek words and stuff straight for you guys, okay? But Paul got to lead him to the Lord. It's amazing. So he leads him to the Lord, and Epaphras does what we should all do, and he goes back to his town, and he starts a church. Amazing. So there's this brand new church, maybe a small church, but they're in this community and they're trying to do this thing called faith. And they're trying to live out their faith. And Paul gets this report back from Epaphras about how they're doing. It was just like, how are they doing out there? And I just want you to know, one of the things that I learned that the early church dealt with in these cities, in these Greek towns and stuff, in a Greek culture, was something that maybe it's a little more subtle in America, I don't know, but they had these like local gods. Like they were local gods. They were like idol worship, but they didn't, I don't know if they considered it that way, but there were these local gods that they all had to worship and keep happy so that no disasters would come upon their city. And so it's like the community did this together. We'd worship, we all got to do our part. And we got to worship all these gods and keep all the gods happy because there's a god for everything. This still happens in some countries. When you go on a global team, you go to countries, they got gods for everything. Can you imagine trying to keep all of these gods happy? It's crazy. And have you ever wondered, like, hey, do we struggle with this in America? Like have anybody ever asked yourself, like, do I worship idols? Like is this a thing in America? I don't know. And I'm just being honest, as I've processed this, I've asked myself the question, and I just think an easy way to figure this out is, I think sometimes idols are subtle, but you can determine them or discern them by your fears. Because I'm telling you, the idol worship, they were fearing disaster. They were fearing, if I don't keep these gods happy, disaster's coming. And I just pray, like, for us today, that we figure this out, what it means to please God. And I just pray that you don't ever live your life going, man, God is sure blessing me right now, but oh, it's coming. I don't want you to ever have that, because that's not our God. And then think about it. These people finally found the one true God. That's the good news that we have. That's the great news that we bring to this world. We've got the truth. We've got Jesus. He's the Savior of all. He's the God of all. He's the one who created it all. And he's the one who lives and breathes. And we get it all from him. We don't have to worship all of these things. We don't have to live in fear of all of these crazy things that want to own our mind. We can fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and he loves us so much. This is the week when we're worshiping and praising God that he gave it all. And if he didn't just give it all, why wouldn't he give us all the rest? And so I'm just encouraging you today, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, identify, what am I afraid of? God said, 2 Timothy, he had to talk to his son. He said, son, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? Amen. So this is what the church in Colossae, there's up against this, and Paul knows this. He's getting this report from Epaphras. Now Paul's in prison. When he writes this letter, he's in prison. And so he's sending these prayers to this church. Isn't that crazy? Like, Paul is in prison, and he's sending them his prayers. Time out. If I'm in prison, okay, like, give me a connect card. I'm writing a prayer request. I need to get the prayer chain going. Get me out of this place. Right? Wouldn't that be what we're doing? No, Paul had something real. Paul had what we need. Like Paul's in prison and he's like, I'm not limited. I might be chained. The word of God ain't chained. Come on. He's praying for these people. That's powerful. Can you imagine being a brand new church and the apostle Paul is praying for you? You ever get a random text from someone and they like just you aren't expecting it and they like, hey, I'm praying for you today. Isn't that amazing? It's awesome. It's crazy. It's the life-giving. If you're praying for someone and they don't know you're praying, man, just blow their mind someday. Send them a text. Go, hey, I'm praying for you. And if there's a scripture that God puts on your heart, send it. Send it. Bless them. That's the way to live. Now, here's our main text today. I hope you got your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, like open up something, like hopefully your Bible app. But you can bring your Bibles to church. It's okay. It's okay. Bring your notepad. Be ready to take notes because you know I'm going to bring a lot of scripture. Today is about the least. I think Thomas thought like I only sent him half the message to put on the slides. But Colossians 1:10 is our scripture for today. I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to unpack this. But it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This thing is packed, just so you know. Like, if you read Paul's letters, I mean, they are just loaded. And if you're like, want to know how to pray for your pastor, like, just go read Paul's letters. And wherever he says, I'm praying for them, like, do that. Like, pray that for me. Like, this is an amazing prayer, but you can kind of tell, like, it's a little bit incomplete, okay? But here's the deal. We're gonna go through the verse before this one, 9, verse 9. And then 10, and then if we get time, we're going to go to 11. But I'm just going to show you what Paul is praying over this church in Colossae that was dealing with some issues, to say the least, some persecution. And so if we could, can you just bow your heads with me? I just feel like we got to pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you didn't just leave us here. You didn't just abandon us, God. You love us. And God, we want to live lives pleasing to you. We want to be well-pleasing. We want to fully please you, God. So today, open our hearts and minister to us personally. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I'm backing up one verse. I'm going to read verse 9. We're going to unpack this, okay? And so it says this, for this reason, we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, Paul, he's praying that they have all knowledge. And I know sometimes we can get into church and we get so wrapped up in learning the Bible that like sometimes our faith can get off this like side road of just being content with knowledge. Knowledge. I got to get deeper. I got to go deeper with Jesus. And I get that. There's a place for that. And God wants us to know, okay? He's not against that. But even Paul dealt with the people that they were content just knowing. And knowing's not enough. Jesus said it, I don't know how many times, he said, you got to know my word, but you got to do what I say. You got to live it out. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 8, he says this in verse 1. He says, now concerning these things offered to idols, we know that all have knowledge. But knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love edifies. Anyone who thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. That is an amazing text of scripture. And I pray that today you understand what Paul is praying is their knowledge of God's will. The knowledge of God's will. And my prayer for you, my prayer for myself, is that I'm living my life right in the center of God's will. Like, I want to follow Jesus, not over here. I want to be right in the center. Look at this aisle right here. This is a clear walkway. This is way better. But a lot of us Christians, we go over here and we start climbing over chairs and climbing over people trying to follow God. And it's like, he ain't over here. He's not over here. He's right there. God has a center of God's will. There's a center of God's will for you and for me, for each of us. And we need his wisdom and his understanding. And there's a knowledge so that we can know God's will. And you're probably like, well, how can I know God's will? Well, Romans 12:1-2 says it. gives us great direction because I want you to know God's will today. There's a key to pleasing God when we live in the center of his will. Romans 12:1, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Beautiful, right? It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Amen? Does that speak to you guys today? We got to offer this. A lot of us Christians, like, we're willing to worship God this far. This is my line, God. But it's like, no, this is the week. This is the week when Jesus, God's son, said, not my will, your will be done. That's the way our Lord lived, and that's the way I want to live. This is amazing. George Mueller. Anybody ever heard of George Mueller? Amazing man of God. He was on this earth from 1805 to 1898. He was an evangelist. He was a minister to orphans in England who left an incredibly godly legacy for all those who would come after him. That's us. It seems that the secret of his life, or at least one of them, was a decision that he made to live for the pleasure and approval not of himself or other humans, but of God. When asked the secret of his service, he once explained, he said, "There was a day when I died. I utterly died. Died to George Mueller, his opinions, preferences, tastes, and will. Died to the world, its approval or censor. Died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then, I have studied only to show myself approved unto God." This is amazing, church. This is an amazing way to live. And my heart for you and God's heart for you is that you stop living for the approval of each other. Live for the approval of God. The best way you can please God is be you. God created you to be you. Don't be like him, her, or anybody else. Be you. He made you perfect. Now I'm going to shift into our main scripture here for verse 10. And in verse 10, he says, now, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. There it is, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, consistent, walking worthy of the Lord pleases him. Consistency pleases our God. How many of you want to have a consistent faith? How many of you want to make it all the way? There's saving faith, right? But there is enduring faith. And some of us need consistent faith. And that's what gets us there. And I know that when I'm tuned in to the Holy Spirit and I'm tuned into God, now I'm walking worthy. Now I'm in his will. When you're in the center of God's will for your life, I promise you, you're going to walk worthy of the Lord. And everything you do is going to be fruitful. There's going to be fruit coming from your life. Jesus said in John 15:5, he said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." That's amazing. All you got to do is abide in Jesus. You're going to bear fruit. But he said this is true, "For without me, you can do nothing." So many people sadly are trying to live out this thing called faith and they've ditched Jesus a long time ago. They're not seeking him. They're not trying to live for him. They got their agenda and then they attach his name to it. That's not right. No, we're living for his plan, his will, his purposes. Abiding in Christ is walking with him all day long, every minute of every day, not just in the emergency situations. Some of us treat God like the emergency brake in our car. Just when I'm on a hill, I'm pulling that thing, but other than that, I don't really need it. That's not what God had in mind. That's not the plan. He wants to walk with us. And I know, like, when you think about having a fruit-filled life, I'm being honest, I was guilty of this when I first got saved. All I wanted to do is lead people to Jesus. Just want to tell people about Jesus. And that's an amazing way to live. But I didn't understand that I could have a fruit-filled life if I wasn't leading people to the Lord. I just thought just leading people to the Lord was the fruit that he cared about. But I'm telling you, there's more fruit that you can show every day in very simple and practical ways. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Amazing. Fruit of the Spirit. This morning, I got to give a little praise to the Tykerts, Tony and Laura, right there. Like, the joy of the Lord is on you guys. You guys are in the cafe just smiling and beaming, and I love that. Like, we should have joy on us. Praise the Lord. Like, no, like, you're not grumpy Christians. Come on. We're joy-filled. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Not witnesses. Anybody can be grumpy when things aren't good, but what if things aren't good, but you just got this joy? Like, you just, no one can keep you down. Like, nothing. The devil can't throw nothing at you. Why? Because you got the fruit of the Spirit in you. Amen. And this is the next verse, right after he says, against such things there is no law. He says this, and those who are in Christ, who are Christ, have crucified the flesh and its with its passions and desires. That's what George Mueller did. He said, you know what? I'm in Christ. I'm crucifying my plan, my life. I need to die with Jesus so that he can live through me. Some of us just kind of do it partway, and we still want to live out our passions again and have God approve that. Then he says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There it is. That's abiding in Christ. If you want to know how to abide in Christ, that's it. We walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We walk in the Spirit. God has a plan for our lives. It's amazing. And then he says this after the knowing God's will, he says, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. I want to unpack this part because this is what God spoke to me. This is it for today. How could I live a life fully pleasing to God? This word knowledge that he uses here is different. It's different. It speaks to, look, our God, because of his great love for us, he wants to know us. He wants to know you. And he wants to be known by you. This word now is starting to speak about knowledge of knowing one another, intimacy. How many of you know, like, a marriage is worth nothing if it doesn't have intimacy? But don't limit intimacy to just the bedroom. That's not it. Intimacy is being known, knowing each other. God wants to know you, and he wants you to know God. There's this place that God is taking us, and he wants to have an open heart, open relationship. A lot of people, again, this is the beauty of life groups. When we have people come into our church and get connected into a life group, and then all of a sudden the walls come down and the things that are trying to hold us back come down, and you start finally being open and honest. I was just at a men's conference. I was doing a breakout session. I got a room full of rough men, like just rough. And I'm challenging. I'm like, guys, you need to be able to be weak. You need to let it out. Be okay to sharing, guys, with your weakness, because I'm telling you, like, when you start doing that, now you're set free. And now you're going to be known. And now the friends that you get are your real friends. The friends that you had before that only liked you because of the things that you did or the things that you say, they're not exactly your real friends. You know your real friends when you tell them your dirt, your worst, and they only draw closer. That's the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the intimacy that our God has. Amen? Come on. I'll show you. If you think I'm just like, Pastor, you're just making stuff up. No, I'm not. Philippians 3, Paul, the Apostle Paul, you want to talk about knowledge? He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew. He knew plenty. This is what Paul said. Philippians 3:7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. That word right there is actually dung. so that I can gain Christ and become one with him. My heart for this room is that you understand how easy it is to please God. I'm just being honest. When the topic comes up, I just get like, the enemy comes in and he tries to put this checklist for me. Like, this is stuff you gotta do, or he's not happy. I'm just telling you, we worship a God, all he wants is you. He just wants you. He doesn't need your stuff. He doesn't need your fine clothes. He doesn't need all this stuff that we think is important. He just loves you. This is why he did it. This is why he went to the cross. This is why this week is so powerful. Because he knew this thing called sin would keep us from that place of intimacy with him. This is why he wants us to come to him and confess our sins. When you don't, okay? When you mess up, don't. He's not surprised. It's not that he had a low bar for you. Some of us lower than others, okay? But he just knew. He knew. When he died on the cross, it was for all of our sins, not some. How many of you parents in here, when your kid messes up, like, I pray you have this heart that you're just begging them to come and tell you before you find out. It's so amazing as a parent. Kids, if you're in here, guys, it's okay. It's okay. I'm not talking down to you. I'm just saying, like, us parents, us old people, we love it when our kids come to us when they mess up. And just honest. Man, it's amazing. It's amazing because that's when the healing happens. That's when intimacy happens because there's trust there. God knows you trust him when you mess up and you say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I'm sorry. He knows you trust him. He knows you understand his mercies are new every day. He knows you understand his grace is amazing. His grace is enough. No doubt, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, through my weakness, his grace is made perfect. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can be magnified in me. Isn't that amazing? Fully pleasing God. He just wants to know you. He just wants you. He wants your stuff. You don't have to do anything. Just come to him. Just come. Just come. If you would you close your eyes? Bow your heads with me. This is why every week we give an opportunity for people to give their life to Jesus. I pray that you never waste this moment. If you're in this room today and you've settled for a checklist with Jesus, that's not it. He died. This is the week he went to the cross and he gave everything for you and me. He gave it all. He held nothing back. For God so loved you and me that he gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life, have everlasting life. And if you're in this room and you've settled for the checklist, you just know in your heart, I don't want to be the Holy Spirit for you right now. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, brings direction. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you, you feel that prompting in your heart, and today's your day, you're done with your checklist and you just want Jesus. You want that intimacy with God. You want that true salvation and that relationship with your Heavenly Father through Jesus. This is your moment. I just ask, keep it simple. If that's you, would you just be so bold right now as to raise a hand? Just raise your hand in here and just say, Pastor, that's me. I want to make that decision. I'm making that decision today to follow Jesus. Is there anyone in here? Today is that moment for you. Is there a hand over here? Sorry. Stick that hand up high. I see it. I see that hand in the back. Praise God. Anybody else? This is awesome. We're not finished yet. We're going to pray together as a church family. You can put your hand down. Thank you so much. This prayer, again, we are appropriating what God's already doing in our heart. This prayer is grabbing hold of the salvation that you already have. But isn't it amazing, as a church family, we get to pray this together. So if you would, please repeat after me. Father, I'm sorry for my sin. I repent and come back to you. Forgive me, heal me, make me whole. I want to follow you, Jesus, for the rest of my days. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.